We are now delighted to have with us this evening our last speaker, who has been described as the best fighter that money can't buy. Joe Higgins has got a long and exemplary history of campaign work in Dublin, of fighting against water charges, of fighting the bin tax in Dublin, of supporting worker struggles, too many to mention now, and of being a councillor for many years, then being a member of the Irish Parliament, the Dáil, for many years, and now, in June, having the stunning victory of being elected to the European Parliament. First of all, a short film.
Joe Higgins is viewed as one of the masters of satirical comment in the Dáil. Since elected as a TD for Dublin West in 1997, the 58-year-old Kerryman was at the heart of some of the most memorable exchanges in the House, like the time he responded to the Taoiseach's claim of being one of the few socialists in the Dáil.
"I'm in court first, but Taoiseach, there's two of us in it, we'll go down together."
Over the years, Joe Higgins was at the centre of many high-profile campaigns, going to jail in 2003 for refusing to end his protest against bin charges. Despite losing his seat last week, the former secondary school teacher is determined to continue campaigning.
"It is a personal blow, undoubtedly, not to have the platform to directly challenge the government. But the challenge will continue from outside the Dáil, where I campaigned for 20 or 25 years before I ever got there."
In the Dáil, the Taoiseach was not the only one to experience the hidden brand of satire.
"It's not even common from behind you that I should speak with the kebabs, referring to my fight against the exploitation of Garma workers. It behoves the Minister for Overseas Development."
"It's a question of forward to the past, of going back to a situation where endless hours have to be worked in order simply to be able to make a living, to look after one's family. That is what we're looking at. Massive profits at the expense of shackling young working class people to 40-year mortgages, and you crush the economy. What does Minister Dempsey and his colleagues do? They bring you into government buildings, they ask you what you want, and then they give you billions of taxpayer funds to bail you out. How about a little bailout for the working class that paid those taxes?
Savage policies of the Fianna Fáil Green Party government in making working people and the unemployed pay for a crisis caused by speculators, by big developers and by big bankers, facilitated by Fianna Fáil. Ordinary people did not create this crisis and they must not pay the price, and that's what they are saying.
Chairwoman, comrades and friends, brothers and sisters, I first of all bring you the solidarity and greetings from the Socialist Party in Ireland, North and South. Ireland at the present time is in the grip of an enormous economic crisis, with production set to fall by a catastrophic 10% this year alone. Now this crisis is part of the general crisis of international capitalism, but made enormously worse by the collapse of the 10-year orgy of speculation and profiteering in property, a greed fest where the price of a modest home for working people increased four times over, obliging a generation of youth to take out mortgages for an incredible duration of 40 years, saddling them with monthly payments that are enormously above their resources, and now, of course, shackling them to a catastrophic negative equity situation where the prices of their homes have fallen dramatically and they are left with the responsibility of still meeting the payments. This was a profit fest where big speculators, big developers, and big bankers all had their snouts deeply in the feeding troughs to the enormous cost of ordinary working class people, but were facilitated in that by right-wing politicians and especially by the major party of Irish capitalism, Fianna Fáil. Notwithstanding what they have done, notwithstanding that this is a crisis of capitalism and that working class people and workers generally have had no responsibility whatsoever for the crisis, it is they who are being saddled with the burden, because the prescription of the Irish capitalist class and right-wing politicians is for savage cuts in public services and savage attacks on the living standards of workers, with a direct cut already implemented months ago of 7% in public sector workers right across the board. That is nurses and teachers, firefighters, council workers, prison officers, and so on. And further savage direct cuts in pay, on top of that, are now being planned for a budget due on the 9th of December, which will be the most savage budget in the history of the Irish state, where they plan to take more than 4 billion euros from public services and from the pay of public sector workers. And where unemployment is rocketing at the present time, with catastrophic effects for those who only a few months ago had a reasonable job and a reasonable standard of living, now facing the prospect of years on the dole and all that goes with that. And nothing is sacred as far as the Irish capitalists and their spokespeople are concerned. On a daily and a weekly basis now, we have calls in the billionaire-owned press and from right-wing economists demanding cuts in social welfare payments, cuts in the dole, a reduction in national minimum wage, a reduction even in the pensions of our older folk. In other words, not just attacking workers on low and middle income, but those on the very margins of society who are already struggling to survive are now demanded to pay for the crisis of the speculators and the capitalist financiers. At the same time as we've had unprecedented packages to bail out the bankers and the same property speculators, there is enormous anger in Irish society among working people. Yesterday, up to 40,000 workers marched in a demonstration of opposition in Dublin, and tens of thousands more in seven other cities and towns throughout the south of Ireland, in a day of protest called by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions. We supported that protest, we participated in it, but unfortunately we have to say that the response of the trade union leaders up to the present time has been hopelessly inadequate. Their policy is a catastrophic policy. Their slogan is, there is a fairer way. In other words, there is a fairer way to cut public services and to cut the wages of workers in both the private and the public sector. Their main difference is, they say to the government, do not do it in 4 years,
extended over a 7-year period instead. By contrast, we, the Socialist Party, cite not a penny, not a cent off the wages and salaries of working people, not a job to be lost in the public sector in face of the present onslaught. And the trade union movement should stand up and fight based on that principle. And we ask furthermore, where is it gone, the enormous wealth that has been created by workers over the last 10 years? And we point out that enormous wealth is still being made. But Ireland has one of the lowest tax rates of the 27 countries of the European Union. We even did an exercise recently where we showed that if the multinational corporations alone in Ireland were taxed at the same rate as capitalist Germany or capitalist Sweden, the 4 billion cuts could be made up overnight, and doubly so if they taxed them at the highest level of the highest country tax in the European Union. But of course, the Irish government has made a decision that if the capitalist class will be bailed out, will not be made to pay working people in their communities. And of course, it is a major complication that we do not have a mass political force to pose the socialist and left alternative and to give political representation, to give confidence to working people that such a fight back is absolutely possible, and that there is an alternative way of organising and running our society. A party that would demand not a bailout for the banks, but their nationalisation under workers' control and democracy. Not a bailout for the business. But massive programmes of public projects to create the jobs that are needed and provide the infrastructure that is still needed in Irish society. We have a major crisis of political representation for working people and working class communities. In Britain, you know that very well, when the party of Keir Hardie finishes up carrying to its logical conclusions the horrific neoliberal policies of Margaret Thatcher. And in Ireland, in the Dáil, in the Parliament, the government is made up of a capitalist party, Fianna Fáil, with the Green Party in coalition government with it. By the way, the Green Party up to 2 years ago considered itself and said it was a radical party. It has sold out on every single policy of opposition to capitalism or right-wing policies that it said that it stood for up to then, and have shamefully colluded in this mass attack now on working people. The main opposition party as well is a capitalist party, Fine Gael. The second opposition party is the Labour Party, which agrees, yes, there must be cuts. There must be attacks on the public service, but they want to do them in a different way to the government, of course. Now, that is why I was very happy to be invited to speak today at the RMT conference on the issue of political representation. And I commend the RMT and those union elected officials and leaders from other unions for the creation of a place and a space for a discussion on the urgent necessity for a new party, a mass party to represent working people. And I also outlined at the RMT how our experience in Ireland in the campaign for the elections to the European Parliament in June shows in a modest way the possibilities for the left and building and achieving an echo among working class people for new left representation. We decided, the Socialist Party in Ireland, that we absolutely had to put forward a socialist alternative in our capital city in Dublin in the course of that election, in order to challenge the establishment parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Labour Party, and the Green Party, and others. We decided to do it on the basis of a fighting alternative to the attacks on working people. We stood on a radical programme. We called for the points of nationalisation of the banks. We called for major companies sacking workers to be nationalised
or renationalised in the case of ones that had or previously been privatised. And we fought that election on that principled basis, and also on the record as fighters for working people over many years in Ireland. Now, we faced a daunting task. A small party with its modest financial resources facing the might of the capitalist establishment. To complicate the issue, going into the election there were four sitting members of the European Parliament. Because of changes that were being made in representation, that figure was being cut down to three. Three seats would be elected by the working class and by the population of Dublin City. So the capitalist media and the commentators took it as granted that it would be a dogfight between the establishment parties and Sinn Féin, which had one of those seats. How stunned they were, however, that when the count started at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning and continued on through the day and continued on to 5 o'clock in the morning because of the proportional representation system, we had elected first a Fine Gael candidate, then we had elected a Labour Party candidate, and incredibly it came down to a cliffhanger between the Socialist Party and Fianna Fáil, the main party of capitalism. And when the final result was announced, it was Fianna Fáil 77,000 votes, the Socialist Party 82,000 votes. Political correspondent of the Irish Times wrote the next day, "The outstanding result in the 2009 elections to the European Parliament must be the Socialist Party taking a seat in Dublin, because we did represent the anger and the disgust of working class people against the government and against what was happening to them." Now, comrades, of course, one MEP in a parliament of 736 mainly right-wing neoliberal politicians, we won't change anything by hoping to convince them. But we will use that as a platform for working people outside the corridors of that parliament. Workers like the Lindsay Strikers, international struggles of working people, we and the Social Committee for Workers International, with which I am working closely, will use that platform to assist those. We were the leadership of the left in a referendum campaign against the Lisbon Treaty, but which unfortunately, a very right-wing, neoliberal project that unfortunately was carried in October, but the Socialist Party was the main opposition party in the course of that particular debate. Now I think, comrades, the possibilities for the left and for the building and the response that is possible to a socialist alternative was shown in a rather curious vignette in the Irish Times report today of the demonstration yesterday in Dublin, where the main colour writer wrote a big article about what was going on in Dublin. Now, unfortunately, it features myself. That's, you have to talk about yourself when you're a public representative, but you'll see the point about this. Yes, we weren't obviously on the platform or in the leadership of that. We were very, very busy with a big intervention with our microphones and megaphones and so forth. I decided to take just a little breather before the march started, went into a chipper, and unfortunately was spotted there by this particular colour writer, who then wrote as follows: "With a single of chips in one hand and a loud hailer in the other, Joe Higgins mustered for the big march. It was cold, windy and wet, and I'll tell you it was, and those chips really tasted great." But the Socialist Party MEP couldn't have looked happier. The workers were mobilised, the banners unfurled, there was protest in the air, and the Fire Brigade pipe band was turned up and ready to go. On Parnell Square, people queued up to shake his hand. How Higgins must have wished for an election in the morning. Now, isn't that really saying, in an unconscious way, that working people that were out there yesterday, if a left socialist principled representation was put forward to them in opposition with what they are faced with on the political establishment at the present time, that there would be a huge response to that? And that indeed is the situation. Now, comrades, there is a desperate need for political representation. We cannot lose any more time. Reference was made here earlier to the growth of the far right. And in a cameo in the European Parliament, in the plenary meeting in Strasbourg, the first one in July, you could just see encapsulated there the problem. The Social Democrats, the Labour parties, joined with the Christian Democrats to put into the presidency of the Parliament a guy called Jerzy Buzek, a former Polish Prime Minister, a vicious neoliberal right wing who savaged the living standards of working people and slashed public services when he was in Poland. And when it went the round for the leaders of the groups to make their speeches, you had the usual stuff coming from the establishment. And scandalously, the person that you could say if you had come in from Mars made the best anti-establishment, in inverted commas, speech in opposition was in fact Farage, the leader of the United Kingdom Independence Party. And what that shows is these far-right parties are slithering into the huge vacuum that has been left as the former parties of the working class have moved to the right. And that is the vacuum that we are here to discuss how to fill. We have a monumental responsibility. We have an historic responsibility, the same as resting on the shoulders of Keir Hardie, of Jim Larkin and James Connolly in Ireland, when they found the working class 100 years ago without representations. That is a responsibility that now rests on the activists in the Labour movement and on the left and on the socialists in particular. And it is time for us to now take the concrete measures in order to carry that out. And I would just say, and I did say this today at the RMT, and it's my final words, comrades. It is critical, it is a marvellous advantage in England and Wales, for example, in Britain, that you have some trade unions and trade union leaders that are taking this issue seriously. We are yet not at that point in Ireland. But my advice to them today was, put in the proper way, without preaching, do not wait until the general election is underway. Do not wait until 3 or 4 weeks beforehand. Declare as early as possible. Working class people who won't know a new organisation that comes quickly in front of them may be cynical because of their experience with politicians generally. But we, I believe that if we put forward new organisations and build a profile for those with energetic works in the area, in the local media, with millions of leaflets, etc., and fighting on all the issues, standing shoulder to shoulder with working people and working class communities, then such a party can begin to make the gains that can lay the basis for a huge change in politics in Britain and indeed the same in other countries. You know, the first time I stood for a parliamentary election was in 1992. We weren't even noticed. But 5 years later, as a result of continuing that work with our organisation and continuing to build and continuing and leading struggles of working people shoulder to shoulder, our organisation was able to achieve a parliamentary seat in 1997. It is that type of approach, I think, that we need now to double and redouble in order to fill this void, in order to, in that way, crush the far right, especially, of course, put an alternative to this vicious, degenerate capitalism that is now threatening the very idea of a decent and dignified life for working class people, for workers, for our pensioners, and for society in general.